Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to welcome everybody tonight. Exciting times because we're establishing our budget. That's what we're going to do next year for the city of Othello with the money that we should receive through the tax base. Next on the agenda is roll call. We have all council members here. And then 1.4 is citizen input. If you'd like to address the council on a council business, raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you and come up to the mic and give us your name and address. We'll allow you up to 5 minutes. Does anybody like to address the council? Okay, since nobody raises their hands, we will close the citizen input. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Charles first.
Okay.
Who?
Second.
Eugene second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passed. Okay, then the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion for that?
I so moved.
Okay, and Kaler first. Who? Dan second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes too then. All right, let me pull this down real quick. Okay, current business, preliminary budget discussion, 4.1. Spencer?
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Council. Tonight, the plan is to finish off the budget for the 2013 year. We have a couple things that we'll talk through and we'll finish off tonight. To help in this discussion, I prepared two documents for you. The first is coming around right now, and we'll get to that in just a sec. One of them is an agenda memo, and there are a couple different things that I talk about in this agenda memo. There are three different things. The first, I just list all of the capital requests that council decided to fund at our last meeting on the last Monday. So I have the total. So that's this first chart up here. Those seven items total $226,050. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I wanted to mention, we have two items that the council wanted to bring forward from our last discussion. Each of them were $50,000. They're separate $50,000. One was a request to increase the funds for the community center by $50,000. And then the second was to increase the park property purchase funds by $50,000 also. So we've got that. And then with that, tonight we're going to hit the water, sewer, solid waste funds. And then we're going to finish off with the street and the park and rec portion of the general fund. So with that, then the other thing that I passed out to you, this is just a list of funding sources that might be helpful tonight as we're talking through what we can and can't do, what we have the money, what we don't have the money to do. The final column is I call it adjusted funds available. And those are the funds available taking into consideration the projects that the council decided to fund on our Monday night's meeting. So those are the most up-to-date funding sources that we have right now. So with that in mind, let's go to our first fund.
Well, before we start, I just want to make a couple comments also. Just so council is aware of, if we pass the 14th Avenue and the sewer water project down on SR 24, I asked Spencer to look up what our payments would be. We'd be looking at roughly $370,000. So that's going to be some of that money disappearing. I don't know if we'll be paying next year or if it's going to be the year after, but that is something as a council you need to be aware of. That'll be for 20 years. It's right around that amount. That's not to the penny. So And then I'd also like to ask the council to keep $500,000 as a safety net, because the way the budget's set up on most of the departments, what they presented, there's no much flesh in there. If something happens, like we all know, every time a well goes down, it's $100,000, just like that. It seems just to happen. You know, we really need to have something there just in case there's an emergency. I mean, we don't know what it could be, unfortunately, so you can't prepare for it, but something just to consider. And then also, I want to remind council that taxes have been, the gas tax, the other things we've heard the other day are dropping on us. So our tax base is not staying up steady like it used to. That's common all over the place. It's not just here in Othello. And plus we have that 176,000 we may have to pay back. We don't know. Unfortunately, that makes another 425,000. So as you can see, you know, we need to have something set aside until we know what's going to happen. So just be aware of that as we're going through the process. And we want to lay it all out to everybody so they know and we can make the best decisions we can. So, Eamon, you have any thoughts you wanted to say?
No, you covered me.
Nope.
Thank you.
I did? Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead, Spencer.
Great. So the first three funds that we're going to talk about are the three enterprise funds, the water, sewer, and the solid waste funds. I have the water fund up, and we have two items to discuss in the water fund. The first is $3,000. I'll bring it up just a little bit higher. $3,000 for telemetry, computer, and software upgrades. Is it the desire of the council to fund this project?
Yes. Seeing lots of yes nods. Okay.
Due to the small dollar amount, I would just advise taking this out of, well, this will be out of the fund anyway. So I'll bring that $3,000 over. The next item is $144,600 for the Vactor purchase. As we discussed Monday night, we were going to change how we split up the cost of the Vactor truck. Instead of 25% in four different pots, we're going to do 30% for the water, sewer, and street, and then 10% from the utility tax. And so this $144,000 represents 30% of that Vactor truck purchase. Do we want to move forward with that?
Leave it in there.
Okay.
That's that big truck.
Everybody knows when it came in.
If you missed it.
So our next fund, so that was the water. The next fund is the sewer fund. And in here we just have the sewer's 30% portion of the Vactor truck. It sounds like that's something that we're going ahead with, so I'll just move that over. And that's the sewer fund. The last enterprise fund here is the solid waste fund. And here we just have one item. This is $55,000 for alley approach improvements. And this is something that was originally budgeted for 2012. We just never got to that project. And so really it's a carryover. We never spent those funds, so we still have them.
Council want to do that?
Yeah.
Yes?
Much needed.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Just a reminder, this is the fund that the city receives increases from our carrier, and then it's the council's option whether or not to pass that on. The council has chosen the last two times not to pass that on to the community because the fund is very, very healthy. Mm-hmm.
So that's the solid waste fund. We have two funds left. We have the street fund, and this is the street fund. We have two items here. It might be a little easier to talk about the second item than come back to the $200,000 item. The second item here is the streets portion of the Vactor purchase, $144,600. I'm assuming I'll just move that over. I see a whole bunch of nods. So that's that purchase. The other $200,000 is for street overlay monies. You can see $200,000 existing in the fund right now. These are two separate $200,000 amounts. The $200,000 that's currently in there was discussed during the Council Budget Committee. That's a carryover from this last year. We had budgeted $230,000, we spent 30, and this is the remaining 200. So we have $200,000, and I've given you a list of a couple different funding sources here. Is it the desire of the council to go forward with this project?
I think it's real necessary. Our streets are in dire need.
Okay, so we'll be talking about $400,000 total, so everybody understands that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you want to continue? Okay.
So the next thing there we need to talk about are some funding sources. We have the utility tax fund, you can see has $119,000 in it. The street reserve fund has $434,000. The general fund has $505,000. Those are a few different options there. We do have a street reserve fund with $362,000 in it. That fund has a minimum fund balance of $200,000, which leaves $162,000 in it. Those funds, I would recommend using those funds for the Vactor purchase. And so that, if that's what you want to do, that would then take away the street reserve funds as a possible funding source for the overlay project.
So you have a suggestion for the $200,000?
Well, we have the utility tax fund and the REIT funds.
I guess when we talk about REIT, are we interested in pursuing a park?
That's what we left on the table coming into this week because of the situation that has come and gone on some of the properties. So I think we're at a stalemate on that for at least, you know, the next 6 to 8 months. So I would imagine we use some of that funds here.
So you want to use the REIT fund to fund the street here? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Using $200,000 out of the $434,000 that's available. Was that one of the uses that we could use out of the REIT fund?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like there's a... What do we got over here? 1, 2... REIT fund? 3?
Yeah.
4? It's already there. Okay.
Okay. I'll move that over. I'll go like this for now because it's really not coming out of fund balance out of this fund, and I don't want it to look like it is. So that is the street fund. Oh,
Spencer, really quick, I got a question.
Yeah.
Could you explain where the REIT funds actually come from?
Where the REIT funds? Yes, the REIT funds are taxes on the sale of real estate. And so when those funds were allowed to collect a tax on those funds, with a couple requirements. There are a couple restrictions there. There was a memo that I put together last week that kind of went over that just briefly. One of the restrictions is that any project that we want to fund with that money has to be included in our capital facilities plan. And so we can certainly update that. Then other than that, there were things like streets and sidewalks and lighting, some park facilities and some... There are a bunch of different things that we can spend that money on, but it needs to be included in the capital facilities plan.
Okay, mm-hmm. And that's why I think that $200,000 for the street would be very well used in this one, because like I said, as homes sell, that's collected and it's money going back in that residential mm-hmm. neighborhoods that those homes sold in. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, well we will fund that out of the REIT. Out of the REIT fund, so that leaves $234,000 left in the REIT, in that pot of money there. So that's the street fund. That brings us back to water, sewer, solid waste, street. The next item was the adoption of the street plan. And then we'll come right back to the park and rec portion of the general fund. So.
Who was speaking on that? Jerry, was that you?
Yes.
Just realized I don't have my notes.
Good evening, Mayor, Council.
Oh, there it is.
Tonight we'd like to talk a little bit about the adoption of the 2013 residential street plan. As you can see, we've got our street overlay history here, and the colors represent different years. Can you scroll up a little bit there?
Yeah. Or bigger?
Yeah. The key at the
bottom.
The key at the bottom.
You're right.
This key that you see right here at the bottom, it starts in 2002 when the city started their overlay history here, and the colors represent, if we shrunk this down, would represent the streets that were done in 2002, and it's laid out all the way down here to 2015. This has been an ongoing portion of the city, this overlay history. We've divided the city up. We divide this in quadrants. Basically, you've got 7th here and Main here. And this is your northwest and your northeast quadrants. And we're going to talk a little bit more as we go through the adoption of this quadrant right here, this southeast quadrant of the city. This has got some infrastructure, big infrastructure work in these streets right here. And these streets probably haven't been touched for 30 years or so. So we're going to skip to another attachment here, which is our road condition history. We did some windshield time here and kind of laid out the city and basically rated these streets from poor to fair to good. So you see that we've got 14.9 miles of good streets here in blue, 9.2 that are fair in green, and 9.1 miles in red. And you can see that we've got a few red over here, but we've got a lot over in this area right here that we haven't touched. And this is an area here that's, we have what we call a low flow area, or water comp plan, that we should be addressing over here for some 4-inch steel lines and some other infrastructure issues that we have in this area. The Council Street Committee has met about 3 times this year, and as approved by the committee to carry over the street overlay monies left from 2012 budget and apply them to the 2013 budget. These funds will be spent along with the previously awarded TIB monies to reconstruct Scutney Street from 1st Avenue to just beyond 7th Avenue. These funds will only be spent to supplement the portion of the project the TIB grant does not cover. The Scutney Street reconstruction project is scheduled to go down or go back out to bid in January of 2013 with a possible reconstruction start date March or April of 2014. Any funds remaining in the city street overlay fund following the completion of the Scutney Street overlay project will then be applied to improving streets in the southeast quadrant of the city. And that's down in this area right here, from 7th Avenue to 14th. And Ash Street to Main. So we're asking council to adopt this for 2013 tonight, so that we can get underway with our Scutney Street here and then possibly start something over in this area for 2013. Any questions?
Questions or comments for Terry? Okay, do I hear a motion to adopt the 2013 residential street plan?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Gina first, Ken Kaler second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. Thank you, Terry. And where are we at here? Park and Recreational Fund, 4.7.
So this brings us to the very last fund to discuss during our budgeting process. This is the general fund, or the park and rec portion of the general fund. First item that we have in here is $3,000 for a concrete pad at the pool. And this is $3,000 that was carried over from the previous year, from the 2012 year. And because of the small dollar amount, I would advise that we just take this out of the fund balance from the general fund. But is it the desire of the council to move forward with this?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I'll move that over. Our next item that we have here, additional park restrooms, $240,000. And you can see the potential funding sources in front of you. We have the REAP funds are down to $234,000. This is an allowable use. So in the REAP fund, we have $234,000. Utility tax, we have $119,000. We also have the Park and Rec Reserve Fund, and that has $502,000 in it right now.
Council wish to do this? I guess that's the first question.
As much as I would like to see them, I just don't see it in the budget this year.
I don't even know where you put them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing what could be done with the older of the two existing restrooms. See if we could renovate.
Well, I think they were looking at additional.
Maybe an expansion.
Putting in an
expansion.
Maybe a little bit. What's available.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can look into that. So do not move that over then.
Yeah, I'll leave that there. The next item is $133,000 for ball field renovations. And the funding source for this is the same as I just went through for the park restrooms.
You want to explain what ball field renovations mean, especially for the citizens out here?
Yeah, actually, Terry can.
Ball field renovation.
There's several things involved in that. One is shade for four of your largest bleachers out there for the public. The other part of it is asphalt on two sides, the north and the west side, where you've got gravel to keep the gravel out of your ball fields. We get a lot of kids that like to pick that up and buy spoon tacos and then flip the rocks out through the into the ball field, so you get a lot of rocks from that in there. And then we've got ball field dirt, removing the four fields down about 6 inches and then reblending that and bringing in new dirt and bringing it back to where it's supposed to be. That's what's involved in that money there.
As much as I'd love to see the ball fields and the dirt be done this year, I think you guys have them in such good shape right now that I think that portion of it could wait, because they really are in great shape. Those fields have never looked that good this time of year, so that's a credit to you guys. But maybe a happy medium. I would like to see the shade for the safety, not so much for the shade of the balls that come up over the fence. And possibly those overlays aren't very big.
No, they're not. I think that figured out to be about $8,000 just to do those two asphalt patches on, and that eliminates all your rock, any potential of rock out into the fields at all.
I'd be interested in knowing what the shade and
they've got down here portable mounds and outfield fencing, another $8,000.
Are we on the fencing? How are we looking on that? Are we in need of more fencing? On the outfield?
It's an outfield fencing for the 300-yard.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then portable mounds?
They're a portable mound, yeah, because we're building mounds right now, and then we remove them. Some of them are build them today and remove them tomorrow for another event. So by the time we get wound up into the dirt and we get wound up into the fuel, backhoe, and the guy's time, it's easier to have portable mounds, and then they just rent them out, set them down, and then you can remove them and stack them.
And I do understand that our fields are being used more now, and then we're trying to move forward into the more profitable side of it, to where they're actually going to generate more revenue for the city and make them more marketable. Like I said, that's kind of, you know, that all the other things except the dirt is probably coming in at, what, $48,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I'd have to redo the math.
$50,000 anyway, right?
Yeah, somewhere right in there.
That's just my opinion. I think the dirt can wait another year. But the other things would be nice.
Do the other things this year and look at the dirt next year.
And mainly that shade for the safety, not even for the shade. Because there's a lot of balls that come up over those fences.
So I guess that's a put $50,000 in there, right? That's what I'm saying.
And as we move through that, we may need to come back to council, maybe 62 or 58 or something, but we'll come back to you if it's more than 50.
But once again, Terry, I think those fields are in the best shape I've ever seen them in.
Well, we've got a couple other things we can do down there with what we dug out. We dug some of that sand out from down here to retention pond. We've got a couple low spots out there that they pond some water. We can improve on those areas too and make it a little better. Pick a few more rocks, and we get the rocks shut down on those two sides. I think we can pretty much have it whipped.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We did a lot of work out there.
Make it another year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen endless.
Another year, we might have all the rocks gone.
Yeah, I've seen about. Yeah. I've seen endless amounts of compliments too from people that come in town and play, and they leave, and they just, you know, that's credit to you guys because.
Well, and if we didn't have council giving us the money they gave us last year to do that, it would have been pretty tough for us to get that done in a regular budget. So we appreciate that as well.
But that is, you know, that's one of our main focal points in this town is our park. And everybody knows that. When they come to town, they know where our park's at. Mm-hmm.
The crew is extremely kind of proud of the park.
And they should be.
We need to decide where we want to take that $50,000 from.
Yeah. We have the utility tax funds and the REIT funds. The REIT funds are now down to $234,000 and the utility tax $119,000. We do have the Park and Rec Reserve fund of $502,000 also. Those are.
Well, according to this, adjusted funds available still, the general fund is still $505,000.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It can. That, it can still come out of fund balance.
That would be
also.
My sorry. Suggestion. Would be out of the general fund.
That's above the $500,000 that the mayor talked about at the beginning of the meeting. Okay. The $505,000 is above the $50,000. Oh.
This $505,000 is taken into consideration the minimum fund balance of $500,000 for that fund. And so if we take that into consideration, then that leaves us, and last Monday night's decisions, that leaves us with $505,000 available total in that fund. So, do you want to move forward? $50,000?
$50,000 out of the general
fund, I guess, on that one.
But like I said, I'm still not opposed to revisiting the bathroom situation and maybe upgrading and expanding the older one of those two. Because I think if something can be done there, and
we owe you an answer on that one after the first.
The next, are we ready to move on? The next item is $2,650 for the ball field concession stand renovations.
Terry, you want to tell us about that? Because we're going along so the citizens get to hear it. Oh, Molly? Okay. Molly, you're on.
Good evening, Council. So the ball field concession stand renovation entails a couple things. What we're looking at doing is, we've talked a lot of our theme has been new revenue sources for the city. How can we kind of make back money, cover our costs, and really be able to provide the services we provide to our citizens at the same level we've been providing them. So in order to do that, we've looked into renovating the concession stand at the ball field, and what that entails, because the equipment that's in there is not currently ours. So what we would need to do is replace the equipment that's in there, and what we've set before you is basically all the items to mirror the items at the pool concession stand. So we can have some parity there if we ever run out, or if we have extras, then it kind of becomes useful at the pool or down at the ball field if we need it. So there's a refrigerator, a freezer, a hot dog, bun warmer, cash register, microwave, and a snow cone machine. So,
there already a popcorn machine there?
There is not, but we currently have one in Public Works that we could move over there. So that would save us the cost.
Okay. And there, if I can, there's some issues with seagulls and popcorn. And normally they don't mix, but if it's a desire of the council, we took it out of the pool for that reason, and it's now down in Public Works, and actually the guys use it. But we talked about putting it in the concession stand, and it really does promote seagulls, and people don't like that.
Totally off. Is the long-term goal for the city to actually man that concession stand?
Yeah, that's what we would be doing. Okay. So the funds would be coming back to the city from the concession stand.
There's a couple reasons why we've discussed that. One reason is basically liability purposes, because we currently own that. So if anything were to happen, a fire were to break out, anything like that, we're responsible, and would then, you know, any litigation would be our responsibility. So in that sense, I think it's a very good idea. And another sense would be to make the money back for the city. You know, we have extra pool concession employees down there on the weekends, and, you know, we can make some of the, or, you know, even during our leagues and during the week, open those up for a couple hours and just sell them. And like I said, if we're using all the same food items that we use at the pool, then, you know, we're not worrying about running out or anything like that. Or if we have extra, we're not worrying about wasting money because we can just move them right over to the pool.
I'm sure we'll have more discussions on this. So what does council want to do on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Due to the small amount, I would just recommend taking out a fund balance. Is that what we want to do? Okay. So the next item on the list is the Vactor purchase, and this is a 10% of the Vactor purchase that last Monday we discussed being funded out of the utility tax fund. So do you want me to just leave that in there so we can, okay?
Yep.
So there's just a couple items left to go. We have $200,000 for an ice skating rink. This is the synthetic ice skating rink.
I think that's something to look at down the road.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, start building for it, maybe.
Yeah, start. Yeah,
like the skateboard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, maybe take some baby steps in that direction. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Down the road.
Okay, the next item is $150,000 for soccer fields at the school.
Now the school has done something. Do you know what they've done? They've seeded that whole thing.
They hydro-seeded that.
Yeah, it's all around it. It's hydro-seeded.
Actually, I think I'm the one that brought that up. And the soccer fields, there's 16 acres there. It would be an ideal place for some soccer fields. There were three or four soccer associations. And they say all we need is a flat patch with grass and, you know, the right kind of grass and taken care of. I went down and talked to George the other day and said I was going to ask the city to put some money into it, but my thought is take some money out of the skateboard park fund, if possible, and just shift it into that. And this would be contingent upon working out some kind of a joint venture, a lease agreement with the city, with the school district. And, you know, I mean, Molly has, we helped way to schedule all those kind of things. There's somebody on board to do that kind of stuff. So primarily, I guess, once you get it built, it's going to be taken care of. But my, you know, I'm not sure if $150,000 needs to do it. Like, I think the school has got some money, so they should be able to put some money in that. I mean, it's just sitting there. So you know, I would like to see that moved in so we get some soccer fields here in town. Soccer's a big thing anymore around here. And it's used a lot. When I was talking to the guys, the football field in the fall, it's all torn up and it's really not very, very good. The one up here at the park at Lions, they've been playing over at Hiawatha and it's uphill. So it makes it a little bit difficult, you know, when you're one side gets a little advantage there. And I'm not sure about the one down at the Garris Park. Grass I've seen down there is about that high, and I don't think they get the ball rolled very good and that kind of stuff. So there is a real need for some soccer fields in the city, and I'd like to see some money go into that. It doesn't necessarily have to be 50, 150, and not take it out of this year's budget, but transfer it from some of the reserve funds that are in for the skate park. So that's where I'm from. So you can decide how much you think it's worth, 50, 75, whatever, 150 was just for premium audience.
So the 150,000, where'd that come from? That's just a figure you came up with? Did that include
I think he was thinking of actually physically putting in the fields for but if I'm not mistaken, they put those in. That grass is down.
Excuse me.
It's been hydroseeded.
The irrigation lines in?
Yeah. If they hydroseeded it, I would be pretty.
Probably.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I don't think there's. I've never seen any irrigation lines go into. My understanding was they're going to put in like crested wheatgrass or something like that to grow without being watered. So the water system.
We could do an interlocal agreement with the school district. The city could participate with equipment, and since it's school property, let them maintain it, put the water lines in, because they're theirs anyway, and the city can contribute towards equipment, the goalposts or whatever else. Maybe that's 30 to 50,000, if you want to look at it from that perspective.
Could we look into it that way, say put a hold on, say, 50 of this, and then look into it with the school district, see what they'll do and how much they'll do with it, and work it that way.
I'm really leery working with the school district.
It won't be in our budget as far as what we got now, because we've already got that money appropriated anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm really leery working with the school district, because we have come to the table with them before on several sports projects, and they said they would be in, and then we've went ahead with it, and all of a sudden, they're not at the table anymore. I would really like to get them to the table first on this one and get a commitment from them before we really commit any money to it.
The whole thing is my thought is the use of the money, whatever we put in there, is contingent upon the agreement that's already signed, everything. So we don't spend any money until it's ta-da-ta-da and John Henry on the paper.
Why don't you appropriate 50 from the skateboard park, that money appropriated anyway, and then we'll come back. You have to approve an LI, an interlocal agreement, LIA, anyway. So that will come back to you, Ken, spelling out responsibilities of each side.
I'm not in favor of taking it out of the skateboard park. We've been putting that money in there, saving that for that. And to me, that's
my same feeling, too, because we've started to save up to that fund, and if we start taking from these other funds now to go to something else, we ain't gonna see it back there. And I think we did a good job by starting to save up for the skate park a few years back. And I don't think we should be starting to take from that fund or.
Then an option is
that's not
that
a revenue
because
fund.
If you're going to lower the amount from 150 down to 30 to 50, then the beginning fund balance would cover that easily. You're back to that.
And then like the REIT fund too, I know in the past we've been trying to save that for the new parks too, and we've already dipped into that a lot too.
So the 50 would come out of the 505,000, that's in the general fund balance.
That sound good?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily used unless something comes to light.
Yeah.
Until you approve.
Yeah.
I don't feel it's necessary to come out of the fund, it just was an idea of somewhere where it could come from if we didn't have the money in here. We could take 50,000 out of the general fund or whatever it is and do that. Okay, it's going to sit there until we have an agreement and we know what's going to happen. They're not going to get the money and then disappear.
Okay, so I just moved $50,000 that'll just be taken out of the general fund balance. We just have two items left. And then we're done. We have $50,000, a request to add $50,000 to the Park and Rec Reserve Fund for the community center. And the other one is adding $50,000 to the Park Mitigation Fund, just to keep on building those funds for down the road.
Okay.
Up to this point, we have, I can just give you a little bit of a recap. The general fund, we have $405,000 in the general fund. We have, in REIT funds, we have $234,000. In utility tax, we have $119,000. So that's the, those are the up-to-date numbers.
Assuming we want to do both?
We've stayed true to it, but we need to start pursuing it, especially that skate park. You know, we got enough money in there to do that. And if we're not gonna do it, then we need to allocate those funds somewhere else instead of sitting there and watching them every year. I mean, I don't disagree with you, Mark, but it's either let's use it or move it so it's usable elsewhere. I mean, there's other things that we can use it on.
Okay, so it sounds like you want to move forward with the 250s. And where do you want to take it out of?
That's in the general fund. We've got 405 above the 500,000.
General fund?
General fund.
Okay.
For each one?
Yep.
General fund. Okay.
I think we're speed for kind of hinted on.
Well, that.
In a lot of ways, I guess. I think probably Ken and I are probably going to argue about it, but I think that block, that chunk we own over there by the park already, by the apartments, would be just about the right size, and if you have to put up some trees for the sound barrier, the cop can drive by at 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, turn the lights off, and it can be put in right there, and it's right by the main park and someplace in the local area of town. So you'll have to go on the other side of the road. But that's my thought. But Ken doesn't think that.
Well, we'll be discussing that. Okay, we have that solved.
Okay, well, that's it. The budget is done. Yeah, thank you very much. We spent quite a lot of time through the budget, the council budget committees, and working with department heads. It's been a long haul. It's been about a month and a half, I think, of quite intensive work here, and. We've arrived at a budget that's balanced and it works for all parties. So thank you very much.
Good job, everybody. That went really smooth. Like Spencer said, all the committees worked hard to get things done, so that's good. Next is 4.9, approval of pipeline agreement with Burlington Northern. Terry?
As you know that we've been working on engineering for that West Moon Street project over there for the sewer. And tonight we're asking council to take a look at approving the permit to cross this BNSF property. In order to lay this 18-inch sanitary sewer main that connects the West Moon Street area as well as the SR24 industrial area, the city's existing sewer system north of SR26 crosses property owned by Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railroad Company. In order to cross the property, the city must obtain a permit from BNSF. The fee for this permit is $3,000. The permit fee is 100% eligible for reimbursement from the funding agency, the Community Development Block Grant Program, and was included in the original grant application. These funds will be paid out of the Sewer Utility Fund 404. The grant reimbursement will then be received into this fund to offset the expense. So tonight we're asking council to authorize the payment of this $3,000 permit fee to the Burlington Northern Railroad.
Any questions for Terry?
What I got is how long will it take to get that permit so we can be ready to go when we do that project?
Well, my next question was, when we approve this, how quick are we, or how soon to bid are we?
I don't know. I have to ask those questions. I don't have an answer for you right at this time. I'll have to get back to you.
If I can, the answer to Councilmember Kaler's question is, it's taken us a couple of years to get to this point. Now it goes fast. It's getting this document approved and the permit paid that takes all the time with BN. It takes a long time, as you know. But here it should go pretty smoothly. As to Councilmember Johnson's question, as soon as this gets in, the bid docs will be prepared and we'll go out to bid.
There is one other that we've got one more to go with WashDOT. We've only seen one part of their approval. We got one more to go there before we can get through underneath the overpass. So we got to hold on just a little longer.
That's a 5-year budget.
It's generally 2 years at the end.
Do I hear a motion to authorize the payment of $3,000 permit fee to the Burlington Northern Railway Company?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Gina first, Ken Kaler was second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, great. That passes then. Thank you. Okay. 4.10.
I have a question before we pass the budget. I mean, we've already went past the funds. We were talking about the lighting for the beautification committee. I didn't see that come up in any of this. Shouldn't that be?
Damon, where are we at on that?
What we thought we'd do is get through the budget, and then you'll have a clear picture of where the budget's at. There are two meetings scheduled, one with beautification committee and the council members that are on that early December. When I talked to Lynette, she's scheduling that. Then the council committee, finance committee, will meet and bring that back to the council on their recommendation on what money's to spend. Right now, we don't know how many lights, where the lights are, this light, or pedestrian light, or corner lights, and how much, particularly, how much money beautification committee and the individuals, the people that have pledged monies to them, those have to all come out on the table now. You need to see and hear those. We need those numbers for the application for the grants. The grant isn't due, the small grant isn't due until January 15th. So we have plenty of time to work through that. There is another grant that came across my desk today that we can apply for larger amounts of money for this type of project. And I haven't finished looking at it. I only had a minute to look at it. So there's lots of factors that we really don't have enough information to put it in the budget right now. But we're working through it, and the committees are working through it.
Good question. Any other questions? Okay. Now 4.9, private displays on public property. Eamon?
Well, thank you, Mayor. A year ago, just about, a member of the community came and asked the council for money to put a display in the public park. The city attorney then advised the council that there are certain parameters and rules that we have to live by. Most of those are in the agenda memo that you see on the screen. In a very brief summary, it boils down to, first you have to answer the question, do you want to allow displays in city parks? Okay. The city could do it itself, but then you can't preference one religion over another. You can't discriminate against any. You can't discriminate against any religion versus no religion. So that's your question. Then if you say yes, you're going to allow public displays and have the public put displays on public property, which is our city parks, then you have different parameters. You can do things like the Palm Beach, or the town of Palm Beach, this is in your board docs. They have put conditions as far as timelines. Their condition is the day after Thanksgiving until January 10th, I believe. So you can put timelines on here. You can identify the number of displays you will allow in a park. For example, if you can allow 8 and somebody comes in after we've approved 8, then they're out, and that's legal to do that. But you have to establish your rules and how you're going to handle this. But you have to take the first 8. They could be any type of display, and some may not be appropriate to your taste or the community's. That's something you risk taking a chance when you open it up. But that's your call whether or not you allow private displays on public property. So that's kind of it in a nutshell on where you want to go with this.
I think it also should be reiterated that this is private displays on public property. So it's the park property. This isn't prohibiting private displays on private property, so churches and privately owned property can still display whatever displays they want to. We're not prohibiting that. It's solely limited to park property or other city property.
And then, of course, as Catherine pointed out last time, if you allow private displays on public property, we must also require that a sign be put up that this does not reflect the views of the city. These are private views, and the display is a private display, does not necessarily reflect the views of the city.
I guess I would like to see us continue having the private displays. You know, maybe something strange may happen, who knows, but I hate to cut off those people that legitimately live here that want to put something up for the citizens to enjoy. You know what I mean, on Main Street like it's been going. I would suggest we, can we limit to one park only? Anna?
Yeah, it's any content neutral regulations you can impose.
Okay.
So as long as it's not discriminating against content, you should be able to impose that.
I know we risk a little bit, but that's part of life. You just risk a little bit in life, and I think as a whole, I don't think we're going to see much distasteful things. You know, we have good citizens here, so I don't know. I just hate to see cutting them off. So
as long as I can remember back, there's always been really nice displays in Pioneer Park, and I think we need to continue that.
And I guess my thought was just, we always had one display in the park. How many's in there? Just one display every year? Debbie, what has it been? One display?
We've got various little things.
But has it been one group doing the display?
I believe so. I'm not involved in
it. Eamon, do you know?
For the past few years, it's been McDonald's group.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking, you know, to do a two display, because the park's fairly big. That was my thought, but I don't know how the council feels about it, so.
Half the time, it's tough to get people to just go do the one display.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's your call, so.
Limited to a number of displays, then? Like,
we can limit it.
It's a small park. You
yeah.
probably want a small number.
Yeah.
If you're saying Pioneer Park.
I guess the first question is, do we want public displays on the private displays on public property at Pioneer Park?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes? Is that what we're saying? Okay. So it sounds like we have a majority. Okay. And then the number of displays, we're thinking two. All right. I see we don't have a motion here, so this is going to come back.
Then while we're at it, I think we ought to also add a time limit on those things. Some of those things are up in the March or 1 year, I don't know, before they finally got out of there. I think one of these designated the day after Thanksgiving, January the 10th, I think it was, or something like that. Somewhere in that category, so that at least it gets cleaned up and cleared out of the park, so public works can go to work in there.
So, anything else we need, Eamon?
Mayor, we would need a motion
to
identify the park, the number of displays, and two may not be a reasonable number even for that size park. You may want to increase that just so it doesn't cause us legal problems. The time frame that Ken was just identifying. Those sorts of things, we need a motion to direct a permit be created that reflects your desires. Then the staff will work with the permit and the public.
Now the council wanted two, so you're saying there's an issue with that?
I'm suggesting that you reconsider.
The three.
Is two may cause a reasonable issue? Is two reasonable for a size park as Pioneer? I mean, it's your call. You can do that, but we're subject, I believe, and I think Anna does.
Yeah, you might, I mean, it has to be reasonable based on the park, so I don't know the park size versus the display size, but if you could reasonably get more displays in that, because you are opening that public forum, so you need to allow a fair opportunity to individuals to create that display. So I guess it's just kind of a deciding, is that reasonable based on the park area and what a display would reasonably take up? And you can also impose limitations on how big a display is.
Could you say four and divide the park into quarters and you get one quarter?
I think that's
Park's
a reasonable number for the park. You could also create a time frame in which they may apply to do a display in the park.
Jeez.
And you could make that that's not subject to this. This is your time frame. You can make it a week if you wanted to.
Should we just come back with something for the council? We have a rough draft right here. Mm-hmm. It'd be nicer if we...
Oh, we can do that, sure.
I think it'd be better if we sit down and get something put together with the concerns we're sharing right here.
Mm-hmm. So on the 26th.
And bring it back to the 26th for the council to review. And if they want to tweak it a little bit, we can. And then if they want to pass it, they can vote on it. Does that sound good to the council?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Yeah, because this is getting a lot of stuff put in it. So, do we have a number? Is it going to be three so we know how to move on that? Two, three?
Four.
What do we want to do? How are we going to get four in here?
Well, you divide it into quadrants.
I don't know if you want to divide it in quadrants because then you're going to have people that are in the back.
Well, but it can be divided into fourths this way, too. You get a fourth
it's
down
a
the
position
line.
To defend because it is a small park. We can say a fourth of it. It doesn't have to be in the back. We could work that part out, but we can defend four, I think.
And what's going to work out, too, especially if we break it up in four, and if we put a timeline on it, like Eamon was saying earlier, and nobody else has come in, we might have one group that's going to be the sole group that's putting in a display, and then they're going to have access to the full park. That's what we could do.
So they have to do it at least 2 weeks beforehand.
Yep.
We'll
get all that worked out. Yeah, we'll get that worked out and brought to you, then we can view it. Meanwhile, we'll have Terry go over and look at the park because the center has a plane in it.
Yeah, and you got a big concrete semicircle right there.
Yeah, so that's pretty much.
And a plaque.
We'll even come back with a number. We'll see what you think when we do it on the 26th. So we'll take a look at it. Okay, good. Go forward on that one. 4.10, ordinance amending ordinance 1359-2012 budget. That is, where'd my paper go? Mike. Spencer,
yeah,
you're on.
That. Yep. Really, this is a more of a house cleaning item here. If you look at the expenses under the fiscal year 2012 budget, we have $4.6 million there. That number was put in there incorrectly. It should have, or that number was originally put in as $4.7 million in the original budget amendment that was from last February when the city needed a new boiler. That's what started this whole thing. And so that first number was about $100,000 overstated, which just flows through the calculations through the revised budget. And then for the ending fund balance, the original ordinance showed about $980,000 as a fund balance there. And so all this is doing is just revising those two numbers there, the expense and ending fund balance for each of the 2012 columns. That's really all this is doing.
So basically, you're looking for $30,000 to be added to the budget. Is that what we're doing?
We're not adding any.
No.
The budget that we're working with right now accurately reflects the numbers that we actually do have. This was just an incorrect number that was built into that original budget ordinance. These numbers are the correct numbers.
Okay. Questions?
No money's involved. It's just.
Yes.
Just a correction.
Right number in the right line.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So do I hear a motion to adopt the ordinance amending ordinance 1359?
So moved. Second.
First. Ken Johnson, second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. And then 4.12, ordinance to amend the 2012 budget. Spencer.
Here's, this memo discusses three different items that where we would recommend amending the budget. The first one is with the general fund, we would recommend increasing that budget by $50,000. And this is based on looking at the expenses that we originally planned for the year based on, or comparing that to where we actually are now that we're most of the way through the year. We're looking at the projected expenses versus the budget, and we're pretty close. We're within about 1.5% of reaching our total fund, our total budget for the general fund. So it's just coming really close, and we'd like to increase that a little bit just to make sure that we'll be on target throughout the to finish off the 2012 year.
This is Mike's cushion he puts in at the end of every year. You've seen it year after year, just to make sure that there's no danger in overexpending.
You may spend it, you may not. In other words, it's just a cushion there, right?
Yes. The second one is related to the Public Works Trust Fund for the State Route 24, and this is an increase of $50,105. When the original 2012 budget was put together, we hadn't drawn down all of the funds available to us, and we built our annual payment based on what we had drawn down up till then, which was $113,000. During the year, we brought down the rest of the funds available to us, and that's going to change the payment amount that we need to make. And so that's the $163,393. So that's the second one up there. And then the last one is, this is a release, $228,000. This is a release of retainage. When the budget was originally put together in late 2011, it was put together with the understanding that this retainage was going to be released in 2011. So it wasn't built into the 2012 budget. It wasn't released until 2012. So the money wasn't spent in 2011. It was brought over and paid in 2012. So really that doesn't necessarily change where we are right now with money. It's just a timing thing, when we spent those funds. And so that's the $228,000. And so those are the three items on this proposed budget amendment.
What? I got a question on the first one where it says general fund 01 budget. Why doesn't that change?
Yeah.
Because you've got the 4,763 and the 50,000, and you have the same as amended.
That is a very good point.
That should have changed. You're right.
It should have.
Mike went home sick today when he was working, and he must have just brought it down. But you're right. That should have changed. That should be the increased number, Spencer.
Yep.
No, you're right.
1,810,000. Yeah.
4,763. I'm just trying to, right now off the top of my head, I'm not sure which one is the amended one.
The total.
Yeah, the total.
It's right,
well,
here.
As amended, I would imagine we need to increase the 4,760. By $50,000.
So it's correct on board docs.
Look on board docs. It's showing it as 4,643,435 plus the 50.
It's correct on board docs.
So the 4.763 is the right increase number.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, the as approved should have been 4,643,435 plus the 50.
That's the right number. Then.
So
4.7.
Yep. Yeah,
right.
The number's right.
Okay. Another question, really quick. I know the bottom won't affect it, but the top two items, how will it affect our balance balances here. That will actually deduct from those ending fund balances too now.
It won't unless there are expenditures taken out of that.
Unless we use them.
Which we're not anticipating. That's that cushion that Mike built in. And the middle one, was that your same question?
Yes.
That's pass-through monies to DOT.
That's the pass-through
grant
monies.
They got. They actually increased their project costs this year, which increased, that's where that 5105 comes in.
Okay.
And so that's why it increased. It's just pass-through grant monies that DOT uses the city as a vehicle to get the money to pass through for their project.
Okay.
Everybody understand that? Okay. Just want to make sure. Any other questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the changes as presented to amend the 2012 budget?
I'll make that motion.
Ken Johnson first, Ken Kaler second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes then. Okay. Any unfinished business? New business? Okay, Mayor's announcements. ACDC will host a lunch at the County Municipal Services Building on Wednesday to meet and greet the new Big Bend College president, Terry Leah. Is that how to spell it? Say it? Said, okay. Then number two is that November 26th agenda will include three public hearings, and that's the 2013 budget, capital facilities plan, and the rezone request. So we'll have three public hearings involved in that. And we'll also consider an ordinance for the 2012 budget, ad valorem tax, and sewer rates. And number three, we'll be collecting youth hats, mittens, and scarves to hang on the Christmas tree in the City Hall lobby. The children's items will be taken to the fire department to be included in the Christmas baskets that they deliver to needy families. Please bring in your items to the City Hall and help with the project. So, you know, if we get that in a paper for us, we'd sure appreciate it. Or we'll give you something to put in there. But, you know, we do this every year. Debbie's your idea?
This will be the second year.
Second year? Yeah. And it's been a good thing to put those in the baskets for those that are less fortunate than a lot of us. So, anything else from the council? Okay, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.